What's up, dental marketer family? How's everybody doing today? I know that was like a huge emphasis on the what's up, but yeah, I hope everybody's doing fantastic. This episode is uploaded a little later because yesterday was Christmas. Today is, okay, there's Christmas Eve, I don't know what you call it the day after, but I hope everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful time. Did anybody travel, stay home? What'd you guys do? Or are you still traveling? Are you even open? Or are you practicing today? You guys let me know. Yeah, it's been chilly here in Southern California. Liking it. It's been quiet. The first time I kind of just stayed home with my wife's side of the family. And been, you know, with them. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Normally I go always to Texas. In Sugar Land, Texas. And hang out with my family and be with them. And I was like thinking, man, I should have went because of the snow too and all these things. But oh well, it's okay. So anyways, guys, 2018, the new year is like right around the corner. We can almost see it. And it's almost there. So many things in the works for you guys. I'm so excited to present to you, the listeners. You guys let me know. None of you guys let me know. But please let me know what you want to hear a little bit more on the podcast. Maybe you're like, Michael, we want to hear more of this. Or, you know, whatever. So, give me your feedback. Go on to thedentalmarketer.org and look to the right. And you're going to see something that says send voicemail. Click it and just record. Just let me know what you want to hear more of, less of. And yeah, that way I can provide that for you guys. I love, love, love talking to all of you beautiful listeners. So thank you so much. And in this episode, amazing episode. And I know you guys think like I say that to everybody, but yeah, all my guests are amazing on here. In this episode, though, I speak to Manal Sampat. And a lot of you might know her maybe from Facebook. You might know her because she's done a world record. She's a marketing I don't want to say marketing guru, but she's like a marketing expert. Because to be honest with you guys, I really don't like that like word, like marketing guru, because I feel like anybody can kind of claim themselves. She's actually went to school for business, like learned through all her experience. I mean, she used to work front office for a dental practice long, long time ago. She's worked her way up from, you know, registered dental hygienist and things like that. But anyway, she worked her way up from front office in a dental practice that saw about 20,000 patients plus a year. And so she knows a lot. And she, like I said, she is a registered dental hygienist, but she's from the Virgin Islands. And so a couple facts and a couple things you're going to hear in this episode that I want to point out is how can a dentist find their culture, right? A lot of startups listening to me kind of want to know about that. Like, what's going to be my culture? That's cool. How are we going to find it? Right. I know in a couple podcasts in the past, I want to say it was like two episodes ago with Andre Sheridan. We talk about finding your philosophy. Super important. If you know your philosophy, then you're going to know your culture. If you know your culture, you're going to know the employees you want. If you know the employees you want, you're going to know the type of patients you want. And if you know the type of patients you want, you're going to know how to market to those patients. You see the snowball effect, guys. I hope you do. And then we also talk about growth management. We also, you know, get to know a lot more about Manal and about the world record that she broke. And I want you guys to guess what it is. Although, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, I'm not going to guess. I'm just going to fast forward it, which is cool. You can do that too. It's okay. We also talk about delegating. Stop trying to be perfect. That's also something we talk about. We mention having systems. How can someone check their systems, right? How do we know what type of systems to implement in our dental practice? Because we hear sometimes on other podcasts, we read on articles and things like that, like, oh, we need this system for our employees. But is it the right system? Interesting. We also talk about analysis paralysis, creating calendars, how action and making a decision is important, right? We can talk about it as much as we want. We can read about it as much as we want. We can watch all the motivational videos, listen to all the podcasts. But taking that action is going to be the best thing. And that's where I think perfection kind of promotes that analysis paralysis, right? If you're trying to be perfect, so perfect, you're really not going to take that action because you're always going to find something that can that can go wrong, right? And that's honestly how I started this podcast. I was like, man, if I continue to be like, I got to get the perfect mic, I got to get the perfect software to edit, I got to get the perfect content, you know, things like that. No, I just kind of hit record, and guys, we're almost in 80 countries now. So, man, let's keep this the community growing, all right? The TDM, the dental marketer community growing. Anyways, back to what you're going to hear, and I want you guys to look out for. We also talk about advice on preparing for growth and how to manage it, right? Sometimes we want to hire a bunch of staff on immediately, or maybe we want the latest technology on immediately, you know, and then we kind of put ourselves into a hole, and that's stressful, right? And it's already stressful enough owning a business, yet alone owning a dental practice, yet alone you're like saving lives, guys, okay? Basically, so you own a practice where you have to stress out about a patient who is not so much worried sometimes about their dental health as much as you are, right? So that's stressful enough. So we talk about the advice on preparing for growth and how you can manage it, because if you do grow too fast, you know, can you control it? If you can't control it, you know, you crash. And we also talk about the best pieces of advice that Manal has for us, some things that she'll never do again, and why, marketing-wise. And, yeah, what she thinks is the most profitable thing that she's seen for dental practices. So, yeah, guys, without further ado, let's hear about Manal Sampat's past. All right, it's time to talk with our featured guest, Manal Sampat. Manal, how you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. Why don't you tell the Dental Marketer Tribe a little bit about your past, present, and future, and how you got to where you are today?
You know, that's a very loaded question. Are you sure you're ready for this?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, I'm sure I've done so many podcasts, and many of you may be listening to me again, but I was born in India. I grew up in St. Thomas, the Virgin Islands. Yes, yes, I know all of you are thinking about the hurricanes. Yes, I do have family back home. My parents, my brothers, my siblings, everybody's back home in St. Thomas. And they did get affected by Irma and Maria, but they're all okay and they're safe. So that's what matters for us. And the island is on the recovery for more. So the only, I guess, salesy or the only thing I want to tell you guys right in the beginning today is, if you are traveling next year, please make sure St. Thomas is a part of your travel plans. This way you will help the economy of the American, American Virgin Islands be a part of everything that you are traveling. So this will be great for the economy there, and you will be in the American paradise. So please make sure St. Thomas is in your plans.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah. Well, St. Thomas is United States Virgin Islands. So yeah. St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix. So they are trying to get cruises there to come back. The island is recovering really well. And you know what? The more people who support the island, the better it is. So just a little bit of a push here for the Virgin Islands, my home, my heart. Mm-hmm. Please go visit them. And hey, if you go visit them, you go say hi to my parents, I bet you're going to have a good time. Okay. I mean, it's going to be amazing if you go visit my parents.
We'll
so just a little bit of that. But I grew up in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. And then I came to New Jersey to go to college, because in St. Thomas, the only university we have is the University of the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. And UVI, actually, I'm sure many of you can guess, the biggest major there is marine biology. And I did not have an interest in marine biology. I knew I wanted to be in healthcare, but I also grew up in a business family. Mm-hmm. So I always had an interest in business as well. So when I went to college at Rutgers, I chose to go. So my graduating class in St. Thomas was 32 kids. That's it, because I went to a small private school. I know. And then I walk into Rutgers, which is huge, over 60,000 students there. My first class, I walk in and there are like 300 people in the class. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I just do? But, you know, it was amazing for me to do that, because it was such a good life experience. And while I was at Rutgers, I joined the pre-dental club. And a part of being in the pre-dental club was to shadow a dentist. So now I came from St. Thomas, you know, I did not know anybody really in New Jersey. I was there. I've always been kind of a risk taker with things. And I came up with my bio and my profile, and I faxed it to all these doctors, the dental practices, to see if I can get a shadowing experience. Mm-hmm. And I did not even have a car then. So I literally took, you know, ground transportation or walked or whatever I can to get to places. Mm-hmm. So this one practice in New Jersey, which is a very, very amazing, huge pediatric orthodontic practice, asked me to come on in and shadow them. And I did. Mm. And when I shadowed them, we just had a really good connection. I had a connection with their team. I had a connection with the doctors. I had a connection with their patients. And, you know, in life, there are a few times where you come across a place or people that you just connect with. And this was this place for me. So the dentist there, you know, as I was leaving, they said, Manal, as soon as you get out of college, give us a call. And I said, okay, sure. So I went to college. I still wasn't sure if I wanted to go to dental school. I did bio. I did communication. And when I left, I gave them a call. And the funny part is they didn't have a position for me, but they wanted me to work in their practice. Now, this practice sees over 20,000 patients, so it's a very big practice. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they had me come in, and they hired me. And they said, Manal, we don't have a position for you, but we just want you to be in the practice. So we're just going to train you everywhere, and we'll just see where you fit in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And so I did front desk, you know, I did the welcome desk window and I did the scheduling and the insurance. I was in the lab and overall I took over their marketing. And mm-hmm. this was in 2008 when I was, you know, right out of college. Facebook was launched in 2004. So everything was very new. Social media was very new. Digital marketing was very new. And, you know, with you and I, we grew up in this millennial generation. We grew up with technology. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at their marketing and I said, you know what, guys, you have this amazing culture in your practice. You have team members who love what they do and they actually want to come to work every day. We need to capture all of this and make sure that others can see it. So I started to streamline their current marketing and I started to create strategies and campaigns to get their culture out. Mm-hmm. And that's where they started to see immense amount of growth because there was this amazing culture inside this practice that no one knew about except your current patients.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to have a face. And what I did was I put everything together and tried to go where their market is, where their new patients, potential new patients are, and put all of that culture online, in person, and everything together. So they started to see this immense amount of growth. During that time, I also went to dental hygiene school. So I am a practicing dental hygienist. And once it came around to it, I had the ADA calling the practice. I had the AAPD calling the practice, asking what we are doing for marketing. And so out of that, I said, hey, we have all these people calling, all this practice is calling, and I really do want to share all this knowledge and the journey that I was on. And I opened my own company. So in 2013, I launched my own company, which is Growth Management Marketing. Hmm. And I wanted to create a company where it was very evident from the beginning what we are about. So, you know, I was 27. So as a 27-year-old, I wanted to do something a little bit bigger and not just a regular go to the bar, have a drink, launch party. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we actually broke a world record. And we gathered a lot of money and we donated everything to breast cancer research. And we actually called this world record, you know, the campaign's name was Fish Away Breast Cancer. And as a hygienist, I wanted to bring awareness, and I wanted to use October to bring awareness to breast cancer. And together, we joined with a local high school team, and we had the most amount of people swishing mouthwash at halftime. So we broke the world record, and that's how we launched the company. So, you know, since 2013, life has been amazing. I have amazing clients. I work with amazing team, and I get to speak nationally and be on awesome podcasts like yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, life has been very good.
Yeah, you did a lot. I mean, that's good. That's good. So let's like reverse a little bit. And why did you join the pre-dental club?
Because I was looking into being a dentist.
Oh,
I always knew I wanted to be in healthcare. And I knew that being a dentist was something that I looked into and I wanted to be a part of that. I just did not, funnily enough, I even did my applications and everything to dental school. And instead of pressing send to have my applications go out to dental school, I had a moment and I said, I'm going to open up a company. And
really?
It was literally in that moment that I decided that I'm going to go into business. Yeah.
So you kind of just, from that moment, what was it in that moment that kind of just told you that then?
You know, so here's, well, life has a funny way of giving you signals, and many times we ignore those signals,
right?
So I grew up in a business-oriented family. My family are small business owners, and I grew up in that. And I knew that business was something I really enjoyed, but I also had this thing where I wanted to be in healthcare as well.
Yeah.
So when I was in college, I was taking bio classes, and I was also doing communication, which is marketing and business and PR and all that cool stuff, right? And in my heart, I enjoyed doing communication a lot more than bio, but I wanted to do something more. So I did the whole phase, and, you know, if you are serious about something, you do it. So I did not apply to dental school while I was in college. I kept pushing it and saying, I need to go shadow more dentists. I need to work in a dental practice. I need to do this. I need to do that. And at some point, you know, you're telling yourself that maybe this is not the path you want to be on. So as soon as that application happened, and I took my DATs and everything, and I was about to press send, literally, I'm like, nope, I'm going to open up a business. And that was it.
Wow. That's good then. So how'd you like New Jersey?
Well, you know, New Jersey is fun. It just, I settled there because I met my, my husband there. So, you know, we've been together for many, many years, and I met him there in college. So his family's there, and he's a physician, and he went to medical school there and everything. So we were in that, you know, we just decided that's home for now. But recently I'm also a world traveler, and I love to travel. So does my husband.
Oh,
and we take
amazing.
Every opportunity we get to travel and enjoy life. So
yeah.
We actually just did a cross-country road trip from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we are actually on the West Coast for the winter. So I just moved to the West Coast last week, and I love it. It's amazing here, too.
Yeah. I've never been to Washington, where you're at right now, but, like, I'm in California, so it's the West Coast. But, yeah, it's nice. I like it a lot so far. I've been here for 3 years. So where have you – what's, like, the place you're like, guys, you have to go visit here? Like, you have to visit besides Virgin
Islands.
Well,
you know what, my – Man, you took my answer away. I was going to be like, go to the Virgin Islands.
Besides Virgin Islands.
Well, the Virgin Islands is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm sure people have heard of Megan's Bay. If you go to St. Thomas, go to Megan's Bay. If you go to St. John, go to Trunk Bay. You know, you can't blame me. I grew up in the American paradise. My childhood was eating mangoes off of mango trees and hanging out at the pool. And, you know, like, that was my childhood. And that's still home. I still get to go home to that. So, you know, obviously, I think Virgin Islands is a part of who I am. So absolutely, please go to the Virgin Islands. And you know what? I was recently just last, and this is something local, I mean United States. I was in Arizona in my cross-country trip, right? And we stopped by the Grand Canyon and the Horseshoe Bend, and literally life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. If you guys have the opportunity, or if you're in the area around Arizona, please, or Vegas, you know, if you are there, just take a moment and go to the Grand Canyon. Photos do not do it justice. And also the Horseshoe Bend, which is kind of an up-and-coming kind of because, you know, it's not very well constructed, and they're trying to keep it a secret, but I don't think it's a secret anymore with the amount of Instagram photos and Facebook photos it has. But just standing in such amazing, like, environmental, geographical thing, like, you realize how small you are, you know, how big this world is, the history that's attached to it, how many years it took for that to form, and how it changes every single year. And you stand there, and you're this one tiny little person, and around you is this huge, massive, amazing, like, Grand Canyon. You're just like, wow. Like, this is a moment where you kind of realize how big the world is and things that you can do to make it better. So I would say that Grand Canyon, amazing. Please go visit. I think that'll be amazing. Another thing that I did, which I thought was absolutely amazing to me, was I skydived. And skydiving was great. So if you have a fear, if you've been thinking about it and you're like, maybe I should do it, maybe I should don't, just do it. Just do it. Scary as hell, because obviously you have to jump. The scariest part is when you look down and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this to myself? What is going on? But you just take that jump, and that's it. And it was absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. And, you know, when you're in that moment, it doesn't last that long, obviously, because you're flying down. You're in that moment, you're just like, this is absolutely amazing. Like, there are just things in life that I think you should do, and you can make any moment wherever you live extraordinary, right? So, you know, there are places you can visit, but just where you live, it's amazing too.
That's awesome. That's cool, the skydiving. Yeah, I went to Grand Canyon, but I went when it was like super foggy. Everything was covered in fog, like in there. So I was like, I can't see anything. So I just went to the Horseshoe Bend, and that was beautiful. That was beautiful, right? And scary at the same time, because I'm like, there is no railing anywhere here.
No, there is nothing there.
Yeah,
there's
I'm like, the there. Wind
people
can...
People are crazy, like, they climb all the way on the top, and they're standing on, like, the edges and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, please don't fall.
I'm like, I'm just going to look away, because if something happens, I don't want to, you know what I mean? But that's good. That's good advice. I like that. I liked it a lot. So if we kind of fast forward a little bit more, how'd you like the front desk? When you were at the front desk?
You know, I liked it. I loved it because it was a pediatric office. And, you know, you learn to communicate with people. And, I mean, it was good that I majored in communication. So we always were put into strategies. We were always given, you know, work where we had to learn how to communicate better. So communication was something I really enjoyed. And also being from a business family where my parents are in sales. You know, communication was a huge part of my life. So it was great to communicate. And it's always great to also find connection and actually just talk to people. Because you don't, I think what happens is many times in our work, in our daily lives, we forget to take a moment and just appreciate the other person and just get to know a little bit about them. And I think that's such a key point in growing as a person and as your business, because if you don't know the people you're working with, if you don't know the people you're serving, if you don't know who your new patient or your potential new patient avatar is, then you really don't know what to communicate. So, you know, putting all those things together is really important. And so I loved being on the front desk. I thought it was great.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. So communication is what you've picked up from the front office. So then what's one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices profits?
You know, I get this asked a lot, and in order for anything to convert, you need to be able to delegate, right? So you need to be able to, one, let go, stop being a micromanager, because the more you micromanage, the less things are going to happen. So you need to have the ability to let go and let others actually do the things for you. So, you know, I was just catching up actually on Shark Tank, and Mark Cuban said, in business, perfection is the enemy of profitability. And that is so true. No business is perfect. You are going to get that negative review. It's okay. You're not always going to have an amazing day. It's okay. What you need to realize is that you can make decisions to move forward, and you can learn from your mistakes. And I have had so many practices where, you know, the practice owner or the dentist is a micromanager. And this is a really good tip, especially for startups and practices who are actually trying to grow themselves. You know, there's a book, it's called E-Myth, and I'm sure many of you have heard about E-Myth as well. And even in that book, it describes that how you need to organize yourself and delegate out the tasks so that you can enjoy life, so that you can actually love what you do, because you don't want to be burnt out. And the more you micromanage, the more you get stuck into this perfection idea, the less you're going to grow, because somebody at the end of the day has to make the decision. Gotcha. You have to make the decision to move forward. So, you know, make sure that you're delegating, make sure you're not micromanaging, and have faith and trust that hopefully the people you hired and the people you're working with know what they're doing. I mean, don't be stupid. Don't check. I want you to check. I want you to make sure things are getting done, but don't micromanage.
Gotcha. How can someone check?
Well, it's important for you to create what I do. I'll tell you my own ways of doing it is what I do is I actually have a system. So every day of the week, so I choose Friday because that's a slower day. That's my clients. So on Fridays is my day to work with my team and my, you know, my specific business ideas and everything else. And I check on it every Friday. And Friday is my day to communicate with vendors. Friday is my day to communicate with everybody else in the industry. Friday is my day to communicate to make sure that my website has this, or Friday is the day for me to communicate how my group is doing. all of that needs to be a part of it. So you need to create calendars in your system and make sure that you actually have time. Set time apart to see what's happening in your practice and what it is that you want to see, because you cannot expect somebody to just do things for you without communicating. Mm-hmm. People are not mind readers, right? So you have to take the time to communicate with your team to show them the way.
So create calendars, right? And have a system.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. for every single employee, pretty much, huh?
Yes.
Gotcha. And then as far as perfection, do you see that a lot? Like dentists trying to be perfect?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want to be perfect? We all try to be perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. So we all try to have this perfection part of, you know, perfection to be a part of us. But there are many times where it will just keep digging a hole for yourself, because you have to be able to let go. And dentists tend to do that a lot. So do hygienists.
Yeah.
Because we are taught in hygiene school to make sure that everything is super perfect. So I come across many hygienists, many office managers as well, who are all trying to make sure that everything is perfect all the time. And you should strive to be as good as you can, and you should strive to become better, but you cannot be perfect. Or if you are perfect, hey, good for you. That's amazing. Please tell me how to do that. But,
yeah,
you know, failure is a part of life. So you need to make sure that you are capable of engaging with failure and saying, hey, okay, this happened. How do we grow from this? How do mm-hmm. we move forward? What did we learn?
Yeah. So like the mistakes become lessons pretty much instead of mistakes, if you see, mm-hmm. if you view it that way. Yeah, you're right, though. A lot of people kind of have that thing, analysis paralysis, where they overanalyze every single thing all the time. But they're like, I'm not going to put it out yet because I still need to do this. I'm not going to put it out yet because this still needs to happen and this still needs to happen. But in reality, you kind of have to do it and then, you know, work your way in. Like, for example, there's a quote, right, that says entrepreneurship is jumping off a cliff and building an airplane on the way down. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like the same thing. Like, you kind of have to just roll with it, because especially I believe, especially like if you're in a dental startup, right, and you're making your practice happen, you're not going to know everything mm-hmm. and create the perfect practice in the first month, and then that's it. Everybody's just going to flow in. Like, you build it, they'll come. That's not going to happen. Like, what happens is, like, you make it, and then you learn through the many, many mistakes, and also from people's advice, like yourself. Like, you know, you've dealt with it a lot where you've seen other dentist mistakes and things like that, and then you say, you know what, I don't think you should be going this way, or maybe you should be going that way, you know?
Right.
Almost like a mentorship, almost like a coach, like a mentor, right?
Right.
That's what
actually,
you do that.
You know, that is an open invitation to any listeners. Like, you don't even have to be a part of my team or anything like that, or, you know, my client base. You can feel free to call me or message me. I do provide mentorship. In fact, I have a few people that I speak with, no strings attached, no sales pitch or anything like that. I just think that collaboration is the best way to learn. And if we are all to collaborate with each other, we grow as individuals. So mm-hmm. if there is anything, or if you need to shoot an idea, or if you want to be like, Manal, what do we do this? Or, hey, it's open. The door is open.
Yeah, yeah. That's a cool thing. You're not salesy or anything like that. So you just kind of just help out.
Yeah.
You believe in that thing where it's like, hey, if we help out enough people, eventually I'll get the help that I want. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I believe in karma.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what goes around comes around. And karma is very strong. I mean, I'm sure all of you felt the powers of karma. So, yeah, but if anybody, especially for startups and especially for young doctors trying to find their way, it's very hard because there are so many experienced doctors and there are cliques, and it's hard to know who's giving you the right advice, and it's hard to move forward when there are so many roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
The power word here is action. You have to take action. You have to make a decision and move forward and make sure that you yourself are prepared for growth, which is amazing, and for failure, which will happen from time to time. Nobody successful is going to tell you they've never failed. They've mm-hmm. all failed.
Yeah.
People who are successful have failed multiple times. Mm-hmm. But the difference is they learn from it. And then move on. So you have to make sure that you as a person are capable of handling failure and moving forward.
How can someone prepare for, like, action? Like you said, how can I prepare for, like, a huge win and then a huge loss. Like, how would I even know what a huge loss is at the moment?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, or I'm not that. I'm a marketing consultant. But I can give you from my personal life, you know, these questions is, I think that you, in order to make decisions, I give myself deadlines. So let's say that I have a project to do. Okay, let's say that I am redoing my website. Okay, that's a project to do. And you can, you know, websites can take a year or 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You can choose how you want to go forward with it. If I were to do that, I make a deadline and I say, okay, Manal, by this date, you need to be done. That's it. That's the date. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I set the deadline, I prepare myself to say that, okay, this is the deadline and I know everything's not going to be perfect. And I then give myself time to prepare out of it. So if I say that November 20th is my deadline to get this thing done, then I give myself 2 extra weeks after that to make sure that I think about everything that I need to change specifically, and I can get that done as well. So understanding that there's always a way out of failure is helpful. Understanding mm-hmm. that there are other people who have done this is also helpful. And having, you know, surrounding yourself from people who are experts, who do provide advice, and who would love to collaborate with you is also a plus point, because if something happens and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this, mm-hmm. I can go ahead and message a friend. I can go ahead and message a professional in my industry, then I can say, hey guys, this is what's going on. What can I do to improve here? What do you guys think? And that collaboration helps a lot. So failure, I guess, we put ourselves in this corner. And again, I am not a psychologist. I am not certified to give, you know, clinical advice on any of this. But just from my own experience, don't put yourself in a corner, because there's always a way out.
Gotcha.
And we have seen that so many times.
Definitely. So then what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Oh, okay. So this is especially for startups. When I started my company, I went big very quickly.
Uh-huh.
And when you go big very quickly, you need to make sure, one, you're prepared for the growth that's going to come your way, and secondly, that you can manage it. What many times we do is we have this elaborate ideas of how our business should be and how it should be run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to do that is amazing, but you need to make sure that you pace yourself, because you have to be able to catch up with the growth. So when I started my company, I went big very, very quickly. And, you know, I am good. I mean, I did not make money the first 6 months of when my company launched.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I have been fine. I've made profit. But those first 6 months, I went too big.
Yeah.
And it's time for you. And that's something that I won't do again, because you need to understand that even though that big is your goal, you want to do this big and you want to be that best boss in the world and you want to have these amazing clients and you want to bring in six figures and all these amazing things. The reality is there's a process. You have to climb the ladder. So don't go too big too quick. Make sure that you have time to establish yourself. Make sure you have time to manage the growth that you have, and grow a little slowly. And that's okay if you grow a little slowly. And the other thing I think is very important for all of us in this industry and pretty much any business is stop looking at what your competition is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that, because all you're doing is trying to be like, well, I can't believe that they did all of this. Look at this. I can't believe that she did this. Or, oh my God, look at how much growth they've had. That's okay. Be happy for them. Be happy that they're growing. Focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on yourself, because the more you focus on yourself and your business, the more you're going to grow.
Gotcha.
So don't compare yourself to the competition, and don't go too big too quickly.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Do you think too big, in a dentist sense, right? Do you think too big is kind of like when, say, for example, I'm a dentist and I'm always like, I need new patients. I need more new patients. And then I kind of ask you like, okay, Mr. Dentist, like, you need new patients. What about the 100 that came in last month? Where do they go? And you're like, oh, they were good, but I need more because they had nothing, no work to be done. Do you think that's like kind of growing too big, too fast? Kind of like you're just focused on new patients and not focusing on the existing patients you have? Or do you think that's also a scenario
Absolutely.
That happens?
It happens all the time. And you know what? dental professionals forget that your current patients are your number one source of new patients.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't keep them happy, you are already lowering your new patient numbers.
Gotcha.
So if you have a patient who's coming in and who's raving about you, make sure they keep raving about you. Focus on your current patients so that they can refer you more new patients. And you will look at this data over and over again. Yes, people are going online to search for dentists. You know what? When they go online to search for dentists, they go to your reviews. Who's writing the reviews? Your current patients.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people who already love you and are your 24/7 sales force? Your current patients. So as soon as you put your current patients as category B, it's not going to help you. Yes, you need to have plans to grow your practice. Yes, you need to make sure that you have strategies in place. Yes, you need to make sure your marketing is streamlined. Absolutely. But the moment you start disregarding your best, your best marketing source, that's the moment that you're going to start seeing a little bit, you know what, a little bit, more and more and more, you're going to see that you're going to resent doing that because it's not the right way to do it. Focus on your current patients. Absolutely.
Gotcha. And so,
and what I mean by also going too big too quickly is also getting too many. Like, I know startups where they will hire out of the back three dental assistants and they will hire five front desk people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, what do you actually need?
Yeah.
I know this is your dream practice and I know that you want to do really, really well. And I know you want to be this awesome boss and this awesome dental provider. No, take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, how many employees do you need in your practice? Realistically, what is your budget and where are you actually going to grow? Don't grow too big too quick. You can obviously add another person when you have the money coming in. And obviously, if you are seeing more patients and you do realize that you do need team members, yes, please go ahead and hire them. But don't just hire them early on and then hope and they're like, okay, well, my team members are not doing anything. Because that's resentment on your part and your team members. Because now they're sitting there. They don't have work to do. And you're like, well, I'm paying them. I hired them, but I don't know if I should fire them. Like, no, just go small. Start small and then go ahead and grow yourself, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So how do you make sure, like, your existing patients, the raving ones, are still raving about you? Like, say, for example, I have a guy, right, who's a patient. And I'm like, hey, man, how'd you like your service today? And he's like, oh, it was great. And I'm like, be sure to leave us a review on Google and Yelp. And he did. How do I continue to make sure he's raving about me?
Well, I think that you need to make sure that your patients are always wowed by you. And there are different things you can use. First of all, there are statistics that you can use. What I mean by statistics is there are actually stats out there, and you will actually know that one of the biggest complaints that patients have in general for healthcare is being waited to be seen.
Eliminate
the roadblocks that you're putting in front of these patients. Imagine how you would like to be treated if you are a patient, and all of us are patients. We all go to a doctor, a physician, or a dentist, and anybody else. So we are all patients. What do you expect to see when you go into a healthcare practice? And imagine yourself doing that same thing for your patients. You know that patients don't like to wait. So then why are you making them wait? Don't make them wait. You also know that they like to be wowed. Do you do something in your waiting room where they have maybe magazines? Do they have iPads? What do you have in your waiting room so that they enjoy themselves? How is your team treating your patients? Are they actually welcoming them? Is it a big deal? One of the best things that I recommend to all dental practices to do is having celebration days. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is look at your new patients, or just look at your patients. Forget new patients. Just look at your current patients, okay? And see how many of them have a birthday coming up and if they're going to be in your practice. So I will look at my November schedule and I'll say, okay, we have 10 patients, 5 of them have birthdays this month. Get something special. You don't have to go big. Just buy something small. And when they come in, make a big deal. They're like, oh, my God, Mrs. Smith, it's your birthday month. Happy birthday. You're so glad you're here. Here's something special for you. That's a small gesture of caring for your patients and feeling wowed. Like, I would love it. I go to this spa, and they actually, you know, have you get – when you shop, especially women, if you're listening to this podcast right now, when you shop, you know that you get those awesome cards, right, from all the businesses you shop from, and they always ask you when's your birthday. And when it's your birthday, in the mail, you receive something special, $10 off of this, or you get a free this or that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't you do something similar in your dental practice? You have to have your patients feel special. And this is a very easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You can come up with a budget and you can just find out, because I would love it when I walk into a practice and somebody's like, oh my God, Manal, it's your birthday month. Happy birthday. Here's a little gift for you. I'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys remembered my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a dental office. I can't believe the dental office remembered my birthday and got me a gift. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
Now that patient is going to write you a good review and probably take a picture of this awesome gift and post it on your Facebook. So you are making sure that your culture of your practice is being shown everywhere, that new patients can see it. So take care of your current patients in multiple ways. Make sure they're always feeling special. If there are roadblocks in your practice, remove the roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
And always, always remember that they are your number one source of new patients. So they do come first.
Yeah, that's the strongest type of like new patient coming in. You know what I mean? Like as a lead is a referral because someone they trust referred them to you. But yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, what you said, like celebration days, especially if they're super enthusiastic about it. They're like, oh my God, Michael, hey, happy birthday or anniversary or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, cool. And he's like, I know you're going to be taking a lot of pictures today. So also, after your procedure, I wanted to give you some bleach trays. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, just something very simple. And you know what? It's a birthday vow, because it's like, oh my God. And then you, guess what happens? That becomes a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
So now you can go into detailing. Now you can detail into, say, what kind of gift am I going to give them? And if you give them a gift that is visually appealing, they're probably going to take a picture of it. And they're probably going to talk about it. Because you know what I do if I get a gift like that? I get home and I tell my husband, I'm like, oh my God, Andrew, you won't believe this. I went to the spa and they gave me this awesome gift. Look at it. Now I'm telling my husband. So it's becoming a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Then I'll be telling my best friend. You know what I mean? Because it's my birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
So because when I go to my birthday party, they're going to be like, how's your birthday going? I'll be like, oh, I got this, this, and this. And I'll be like, oh my God, yeah, by the way, my dentist got me this. So now I'm having a conversation with my friends about it.
Yeah.
So you have to, if you want to become a topic of conversation, you have to give them a reason to become a topic of conversation. And the reason has to be aligned with making your patients feel special. They have to feel special. And if they feel special, they will talk about it. I talk about it when I feel special. So you kind of do the same thing.
That's, improving the patient experience. So what's a wow waiting room? Like if you were to go, say Manal's in the waiting room right now. What would you be like, wow, this is waiting room.
Okay, so this kind of goes back into more strategic planning. And the reason is your wow waiting room needs to be in reflection of your potential new patient avatar. So in order for you to even figure out what your wow should be, you need to know who you're trying to attract to your practice.
Mm.
What I like may be very different than a baby boomer may like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do you actually know who your new patients are? And I don't want, I'm a GP, so I take everybody from, you know, kids all the way to seniors. No.
Yeah.
What I'm asking is specifically, tell me details about your new patient. Who's going to be this awesome new patient you want to get to your practice? This is a specific age group, males or females. What do they like? What do they don't like? Because if you know who your potential new patient is, then you know what you need to do to relate to them, right? So if I go in to a dental practice and I am a 32-year-old professional, I'm a female, I make the healthcare decisions in my life, my husband is a professional, so we are in that kind of in that really good new patient target group, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am also a techie person and I'm also a millennial. So when I go into a waiting room per se, I want to first of all make sure that I'm seen right away. I do not want to wait more than 10 minutes, because if I wait more than 10 minutes, you are getting a negative review from me. The second thing that I want to make sure is that the team is amazing. If your team is having an attitude problem, or if your team is gossiping or not actually paying attention to the patient, no, I don't like that either. I do want to make sure that your room is super clean. And if I'm only waiting for 10 minutes, that means that I should not have much to do in your waiting room, because I'm only there for 10 minutes. So yes, a coffee station or water is great, because I just came in driving and you're giving me a coffee to ensure anything like that. If you have iPads in there, that's great too. If I just kind of want to browse around for the 5-10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
if you're telling me very important. If you're giving me free Wi-Fi, awesome. I can now use free Wi-Fi by waiting for 10 minutes. That's mm-hmm. great for me. So, you know, stuff like that is more ideal for me, right? But let's say that you have a different population and you have a population that is okay with waiting. Then what do you have in your waiting room that's actually going to be more enticing for them to read or maybe to be engaged in? So it depends on who your target population is. If you are trying to attract a certain age group, if you're trying to attract a certain level of income, if you're trying to attract a certain level of education, it all depends on who your new patient avatar is. And if you can target that, and if you can put things around specifically for them, that's great.
Okay. So then what's the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their mindset in a positive way?
Okay. So you know how I spoke to you guys about earlier today, dental school and business, right? When I was at Rutgers and I went to the counselor there, and I was talking to her about this. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do dental school. I don't know if I want to go into business. I don't know what I want to do. And she sat me down and she said, and this is a quote that she told me, and she said, I don't know if you believe in faith, but if you think you can do something, you are already born with the power to do so. Now, I am not a religious person specifically, but that makes sense to me. If you can think you want to do this, that means that you already have something in you that's going to say, maybe I can try to do this. Are you always going to be successful? No. But if you yourself, if your mind is capable of saying, hey, I want to do this, or I think I can do this, then why not give it a try?
Yeah.
You may just be successful.
Yeah, I like that. So that's good.
So, you know, what I always tell about, taking action is important, because just do it. Just like Nike says, just do it.
Just do it.
Go ahead. Just do it. And guess what? You know what? Things are not going to be perfect, and that's okay. It's life. You grow from it. Nobody's going to say they're perfect, and nobody's going to say that, you know, I success without having any failure in my life. It's okay. So, you know, that was a really good piece of advice that really transformed me from being a sophomore in college to what I am today.
What was the quote? If you think you can do something?
The counselor told me that, I do not know if you believe in faith, but if you think you can do something, you are already born with the power to do so.
Already born. I'm writing it down. That's really good. I like that. If you think you can do something, you're already born with the power. Born with the power to what?
To do so. Yeah.
Wow. Would you say that's like the mantra that you live by or would like to live by, or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or do you have another one?
I love that mantra. I think like I said, it really shaped me into who I am today. The only other thing I also want to make sure that, you know, all of our listeners are understanding is also that work is a part of life, right? It's not the life. So when you're making decisions in your work, when you're making decisions to move forward as a person, and you're making decisions to grow your practice, you want to make sure that you understand that work is a part of life. So you want to actually enjoy the benefits of working so hard. So don't let your work get so overwhelming that you forget to live in the moment, that you forget to do things that you actually enjoy to do. So make sure that you always remember to make a work part of your life, not your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Manal. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you can find me multiple places. You can visit my website, which is marketinggmm.com. So that's marketinggmm.com. And guess what? If you go to the website, you will also see beautiful pictures of the Megan's Bay Beach on there. I also have a Facebook group. It's a closed Facebook group, so you can feel free to join that. It's Dental Marketing with Manal Sampat, RDH. And if you do want to receive 10 tips to get started with your marketing or to streamline them, all you have to do is text the word resources to the number 38470. Once again, text the word resources to the number 38470. It will ask you for your email. Put your email in, and you will be emailed the 10 tips.
Mm-hmm.
So, and resources.
Yeah, yeah,
bunch
definitely.
A bunch of resources as well, yeah.
Your company does every type of marketing, right? As far as...
Well, my company does multiple things. I am a marketing consultant by trade. So that's what I do. So what I do is a practice will call me and say, hey, Manal, what do we do? Where do we change? How can we improve? And I actually create a marketing strategic plan for them, and I help them through that. But another thing that is more powerful that I have been started doing this way is, given who I was, because I was somebody, you know, in a dental practice doing their marketing. Mm-hmm. And I really think that you need somebody in your practice who can handle everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually provide training for somebody in your practice to handle your marketing. And that's my, that's actually becoming very popular. I do workshops specifically for that. I do online training specifically for that. And that's becoming very powerful because we are all understanding that you can't just expect a company to do your work for you. You need somebody in your practice who can handle it all. And given my experience and given what I do, and I was in their shoes, I actually provide that training to them.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I recommend that too. I like it when people have like a specific employee to do it. Because, I mean, like, to be mm-hmm. honest with you, that's literally their only job, to market and attract new patients.
Yeah.
So, like, if that's not happening in your practice, then they're not doing their job, you know, so you can let them go. But, like, if they are, then that's only going to benefit you.
Right. And they need training. They need training. They need somebody who can help them organize. Because you can't expect somebody to just walk in and know everything. But mm-hmm. if you have somebody in your practice who is good at what they're doing and you think they'll be a really good fit for your marketing, hey, then that's great. You can make them into your marketing director.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I started. And look at where I am today. So this mm-hmm. is a training that I provide, like I said, virtually, or I do workshops, specific workshop with only 10 people in the workshop. So they are very, they're very, very involved, and one-on-one training is always great as well. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely. All right, Manal, thank you so much for being with us. All the links that she mentioned will be in the show notes below as well. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you so much, Michael. This was great. Thank you to all the listeners.
Woo! What a great episode. Hopefully I didn't just damage your ears right now with a woo, but thank you guys so much for tuning in into this episode with the wonderful Manal Sampat. Guys, I hope you know this. I mean, as you kind of heard at the very end, right? How awesome would it be to have your own person trained in marketing, right? In your dental office. Now, a lot of you guys who listen to me know that I'm a ground marketing teacher, right? And what that means is I teach your employees how to do ground marketing, or say you already have someone who's doing ground marketing, I'll find these locations for them. Anyways, so I'm all about ground marketing, right? But teaching your employee on how they can become a ground marketer. So you know I'm all for having your own employee, having your own staff member, having your own team member just dedicated to marketing, right? And I think that's something that you really, really, I want everybody to think about, because to be honest, that's like, how much load off would that be for you guys? You know what I mean? If you have someone just doing the marketing, not having to worry about it. And if you're worrying about, all right, new patients, that means that the marketer's not doing their job, right? But if they are, if they're doing everything they're supposed to be, what? You don't really have to worry about, all right, what next piece of marketing do I have to do? What social media site should I post to? What businesses do I have to go to? Where in the community do I need to be? All these things, right? No, you really wouldn't have to worry about that. You just got to, every week or so, just have a meeting with the person and then they'll catch you up. Anyways, that's something, when she mentioned that, I was like, man, okay, already alone with the ground marketers, my students, they already alone do this, but they don't do so much digital side. They're just out in the community setting up at events, attracting new patients, getting their name and numbers down on paper, you know, setting up booths, doing lunch and learn seminars all over the community. But it'd be pretty cool to have also that person do, you know, the social media, have them also do maybe your newsletters, have them do blog posts on the websites, have them do some SEO, also have them do, you know, your marketing pieces, pamphlets, business cards, things like that, brainstorming on content. Anyways, guys, I thought that was a really great idea, something to look out for, or maybe look into, or maybe we might be coming out with something soon. If we do come out with something soon, just to be sure you guys are the first to know, go in the show notes below and sign up to my newsletter. I always give you guys the latest and greatest tactics, especially on ground marketing, but tips and news and updates. So anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Manal is wonderful. If you guys are planning to travel, hit up Virgin Islands to help them out a little bit. But if you, what key points did you guys take away in this episode? I took away, I like how we talked about, you know, creating systems, delegating. I loved that part about delegating. Like, delegate what you don't want to do, right? But make sure you don't, you know, grow too big too fast as well. And then I liked how we talked about the growth management practice, which I just mentioned. It's because I wrote my notes right down right now and I'm kind of reading through them. And then finding the culture, right, in your dental practice. So yeah, you guys let me know what you liked about this episode. Manal, thank you so much for your time and for allowing me to interview you on the Dental Marketer Podcast. She's doing great things, guys. Go check her out in the show notes below. She has her own Facebook group as well. Super fun Facebook group. I'm in it. You can ask me any questions or concerns in anywhere there. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram under the Dental Marketer Podcast. And guys, I'll talk to you soon.